Hello and welcome. You've tuned in to Finding Truth Matters with Dr. Andrew Corbett. It's good to have your company. People say that the Bible is a roadmap for life, and Christians will say that they follow Jesus. But how do they know what to do? The New Testament of the Bible not only tells the story of a man named Jesus, it's the written account of what Jesus commands of his followers. So to follow Jesus requires a look at what he says. Dr. Corbett is beginning a series on the commands of Jesus. Tonight, the prayer Jesus commanded.
Jonah was swallowed by the big fish, and it says Jonah cried unto the Lord, "Help." I'd pray that one. Anyone else ever prayed that? Help. That's it, one word. Help. We've got Nehemiah in Nehemiah, I think it's chapter 1, where Nehemiah came, he was the wine bearer, and he came into the king, and it says, and he looked glum. And the king said to him, "What is the matter?" Because to be glum in the king's presence was an executable offence. And Nehemiah instantly, it says this, "And I prayed to the Lord and said..." So between the king asking him something and the next word coming out of his mouth in a second, there was this prayer. My guess is it was probably very similar to the prayer of Jonah. It may have had a couple of other words in there like, oh God, help. It was very short. Jesus is saying, it's not about long prayers. It's about what's in the heart praying. Man, we should be reading this and looking at this as if we're looking at it for the first time and go, wow, that's fantastic. I can do that. I can do that. I can pray from my heart. I can pray short prayers. I can just, yeah, I'm into this. That's what we should be doing. "Do not be like them, for your Father knows already what you need before you ask him." Now that is just so profound, because sometimes when I pray, the very first thing I'm praying is my appeal to God, my requests to God. The very first thing I'm doing is telling God, "Oh God, please, I need your help here. I got this need. Oh God, we need this, as a church, and we need this. And God, and it's like God is, Jesus says, that's what Gentiles do. Don't come into the presence of God. Don't come to God in prayer and just start giving him your shopping list. Come in, sit down, relax, talk to him, pour out your heart. Now, Jesus is not going to say don't do that, but don't make that the basis of the way you pray. Don't make it the basis of the way you pray. So this is what he said, verse 9. "Pray then like this." Do you notice that? "Pray then like this." Not pray this. Pray like this. So I've got Jesus saying that this prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer, it's not really the Lord's Prayer, it's really the disciples' prayer, the prayer he gave the disciples. And in Luke 11, we actually have a little bit more information than what we've got here. As I said to you, Luke really is struck by how much Christ prayed and how much Christ taught on prayer and how much the disciples were really struck by Jesus and the way he prayed. And in Luke 11, it says, "And the disciples came to Jesus and said, 'Teach us to pray.'" Have you ever prayed that to God? "Teach me to pray. Teach me to talk to you. How do I approach you? How do I talk to you?" You ever seen that stupid reality TV show, Australia's Princess or whatever it's called? Anyone ever seen that? Is that what it's called? The one? Who watches TV? You're all praying, I know, I can tell. But there's this stupid reality TV show where they're going to take a bunch of ochre girls and make them into a princess. And talk about Mission Impossible. But anyway, and so they teach these girls to go to a high class dinner party where, you know, you've got to use the right fork out of the 17 forks you get. You've got to pick the right one, and you've got to know how to, and everything's got to be done right. These girls had to be taught for a month for this one dinner party. And you think, man. Now, thank God that God is our Father. And we can talk to him like daddy, father. But he's still the king. He's still the king. He's still somebody that we can rightly pray what the disciples prayed when they said to Jesus, teach us to pray. And I pray as a church that we will pray that prayer. God, as a church, teach us to pray. I've been in church prayer meetings where people have been upset because one person was praying over here and another person was praying over here and another person was praying over here and somebody got really upset. No, one person should pray and we should all just shut up. I went to another prayer meeting at a different church, and as soon as I came in, I realized, oh, this is one of those churches where you don't say anything type prayer meeting. Now you know you're a bad leader when you can't lead a group in silent prayer. Anyway, just a thought. And here in this church that I went to, no one said anything. You didn't pray. And I'm like, I'm bursting on the inside. I'm bursting to pray. And I'm thinking, no, just be cool. But some people get really upset when a group of people get together and they pray wrong. Oh, man. I don't think it's meant to be like that. I think we can learn the ways of being able to pray as a church, and I pray that God will teach us to do that. Let's have a look at this, the model prayer. So here we have Jesus saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, what's going on here? What's Jesus telling us about God? What's Jesus teaching us about prayer? Our Father. Notice Jesus doesn't say, pray like this, my Father. I've been struck by this for years now. Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father. There's something about prayer that says it's not just about me and God, it's about us and God. He's our Father. Our Father. Something about that. Our Father. He's in heaven. He's in a position where Jesus has already told us our Father is looking down on us and he already knows our needs. Our Father. So what's Jesus told us about God? He's told us that God knows us. He's told us that God cares about us. We don't approach God like some Eastern religions do, where they think the only way they can really approach God is to cut themselves, and they do. They slash themselves. They cut themselves. They put great big whopping hooks on their through the flesh of their skin, and in one part of India they have to pull a log up a hill to get to this altar, this monument, because if you do that, then the God that they're praying to will answer their prayer. If they can go through enough pain. Oh, Christians, thank God we don't have to pray like that. Can I get just a little amen? Thank you. Our God knows and cares for us. Hallowed be your name. Boy, hallowed be your name. Ponder that for a moment. One of the things that would be a really good exercise to do would just to be to look at the various names that God has given in Scripture. They're beautiful. They're absolutely beautiful. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed. What is at the very least, hallowed means of the highest respect I'm going to give your name. You ever been around somebody when they drop something on their foot or slam their finger in a door and they call out, oh, God, and they're not praying? You know, they say, Jesus Christ. Those words come out of their mouth and you know they're not hallowing the name. Christians shouldn't do that. Hallowed be your name. I hallow your name. Your kingdom come. I believe we're in the kingdom of God right now. I'm not looking for a future earthly 1,000-year kingdom. I believe Christ has established his kingdom now and he's ruling and reigning in the hearts of people. Your kingdom come. From the disciples' perspective, it was about to come. From our perspective, I believe it has come. And so now we can pray, let your kingdom outwork in my life. If Christ is king, he's in control. He's Lord. Let Christ be Lord of your life. What are those parts of your life? What are those parts of my life that I really need to surrender to God? Generally, they're those things that I'm holding on to most tightly, and I'm really reluctant to let them go. And when people point a finger at them and lovingly, and you know you're in a good church, by the way, when people correct you. When people come up to you in fellowship who you have grown to love and to trust and to know, and somebody says, can I speak to you? And you think, and for some of us, when somebody says that, we kind of brace ourselves and steady ourselves. But I tell you what, if nobody is talking to you like that, you are not growing. You are not growing. If you haven't got somebody who can speak it like it is and straight into your life and say, listen, you smell. Use deodorant. That's what I had happen to me when I was 16. I had three girls gang up on me in my youth group. And another one said, and look, while we're at it, have you ever heard of shampoo? I'm nearly over it. But they did it because they cared. I came from a somewhat dysfunctional home life, as I think we all do. And they cared. And they came up. And I tell you what, it hurt. It hurt. It crushed me. And there were other times when people have come up and said, look, I don't know how you're going to receive this, but I really feel I've got to say to you that your attitude stinks. You know, and one of the way I'm wired is to be instantly defensive. You know, somebody can say something like that to me and I can go, oh, no, hang on, you got it wrong, you know. But if I'm going to let the kingdom rule in my life, there have to be those areas in my life that I pray, oh, God, correct me, teach me. And chances are he's going to answer that prayer by probably using you, which you can see I'm really thrilled about. But he's probably going to use someone around you right now tonight, to do the same thing to you. And I'll tell you, if we want to grow as people, if we want to grow as a church, your kingdom come, Lord. And the next bit is, your will be done on earth or in earth as it is in heaven. Again, it's this surrender. Have your will. May your will be done in my life. See, Jesus said, pray like this. Not these words, but pray like this. So perhaps tomorrow morning you can open up your Bible, Matthew 6, look at these words and pray like this. Ponder this, our Father in heaven. And, oh God, I've never thought of you as a loving, caring Father who just knows me and cares for me. Thank you, oh God. Lord, you're worthy. I just want to worship you. Why do we sing songs? Because we're hallowing his name. We're doing what this prayer is about. Keith opened up the worship service tonight with the words, let us pray. And then from that point began to sing the songs. That's fantastic, Keith. That's brilliant. And as he said, he never said amen. So this whole thing is prayerful. As I'm preaching to you, many of you might be, you know, thinking, God, help me. Help me to live this stuff. Give us this day our daily bread. This is where I said to you before, some people just come before God, oh God, I need this. Oh God, answer my prayer. Heal me. Do this for me. Make me happy. Give me this new job. Give me that new car. Oh God, give me. And Jesus doesn't say, don't pray like that, but he's just told us, don't just pray like that. That's what the Gentiles do, Jesus said. Don't just pray like that. And it would be wrong of us to think that we can't ask God for things we want. Now, I've heard people say, you can't pray what you want. You can only pray for what you need. Well, I'm at the point where sometimes, look, I'm going to let God figure it out. I don't know if I need this or I just want this. But God, I'd like this. And some people are saying, God doesn't... I know Donna, when I was away, preached a brilliant message on why God doesn't answer prayer. But sometimes God does answer prayer. He says, no. I don't know how many of us have thought of that as answered prayer. God, heal me. Now, we could think God hasn't answered. But God has answered. It's just not the answer we wanted. I heard of a lady just the other week who did something, a Christian lady, did something really, really foolish. Really foolish. One lapse. And there are children here, so I'm not going to describe what she did. But I'll leave it up to your imagination when I tell you that within a week she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And the suspicion of breast cancer came about because of what she was doing with someone. And she went and spoke with someone and confessed to them what she had done, and this person said, not a part of this church, and I trust that nobody in this church would talk this way. This person said this: "This is God punishing you for your sin." And she was distraught. One lapse. It was not a lifestyle. It was not a continual thing. Can I tell you, God can put sickness on people. And I know that there are some faith teachers who teach that he can't and doesn't and won't. But I think he does. But can I tell you this? It is totally out of the character. If you slip up once, God go, gotcha, right, pow! God doesn't do that. How do I know that? Because we've got a really accurate portrayal of God in this scripture, and God does not do that. Test me if you like. You read this and you give me one example where God just gives zero tolerance and afflicts people with sick. No way. You'll find that God might do it, rarely, but he might, when there's just continual rebellion, continual sin. That's what it says in Romans 1. He gives them up over to their sin. And they are afflicted in their bodies, it says in Romans 1, after continual sin. Well, anyway, this lady thought one sin, and she was cursed with breast cancer. That's not the God we worship, church. Can I tell you that? And her prayer from that point was this: God, forgive me, I'm so sorry. Now that I've said that, now take this away. I've learnt my lesson, take this away. Can I tell you that you could get sick, and I hope you don't, but you could. And you can ask God, oh God, please heal me. In fact, you should. You should ask. And the scripture says you should call for the elders of the church, and they should anoint you with oil, and you should be prayed for. All of this should happen. But I know this: God knows best. God knows best. I broke my shoulder in two places when a lady in a Nissan patrol smashed into me, and I was thrown 6 metres through the air and smacked into a power pole on my head. Which that was okay because there's nothing in it, but my shoulder is another issue, and you can see here that this shoulder is an inch lower than this shoulder, and I was told, thank you, I was told when I came to half a day later that in 6 months I'd be as right as rain. I'd never know it happened. Well, that was nearly 17 years ago or so. And it has been a constant ache ever since. And Peter, you probably know what constant ache's all about because of your clumsiness. And Peter was involved in a motorcycle accident as well. And I have cried out, oh God, heal this, God. There are times, you know, where I could barely lift my arm and it just aches. And I remember just after we had Tyrone, I was holding my baby and my arm began to ache to the point where I thought I was going to drop him. Now, that's a terrible feeling. And, oh God, this is not right. I want to be healed of this. And in the midst of that, there were times when I was praying for people and they were getting healed. And I'm going, I don't understand this. And I don't. But I do know that despite the fact I don't understand it, despite the fact that sometimes God says no, I know what's best in my time, maybe never. I just go, well, God, I've come to this point now where I go, God, you're my Father. I really trust you. And I know the very fact that I've just said that to you now, he's probably going to judge me and test me on it. So I don't know why I even said it. But anyway, it is my prayer that that's how I will walk with God. No matter what happens, I'll trust him. Forgive us our debts as we forgive others. Oh, man. Boy, oh, boy. Jesus is saying this should be a part of our daily prayer life. Our daily prayer life, where we are constantly letting go of grudges and constantly praying God's blessing on those who have hurt us, injured us, done us harm, slandered us, worked against us, hate us, are out to get us. Jesus says, bless them. Forgive them. Oh, man. You need to pray for God's help to do this. Because you can't do it on your own. And that's what Jesus says. Pray this daily. God, forgive me as I forgive others. I've heard people teach, there are some people who teach, that once you become a Christian, all of your sins are atoned for. Now, in one respect, that's true. It's totally true. And they say, because of that, you never need to ask God for forgiveness again. That's just a load of rot. A load of rot. Yes, your sins have ultimately been forgiven. Yes, I married Kim. And she can't just flippantly pretend that we're not and walk out because I make one mistake. She can't do that because we're married. And despite that, there are times when I close off from her, when I'm not sensitive to her, when I even say things in the heat of the moment out of tiredness or frustration that hurt her, and I need to come to her and I need to say, darling, I said this, I did that, I neglected this, please forgive me. And we need to do that with God too. God, forgive me. Forgive me. And then finally in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's interesting how many Christians pray for a hatred of sin. You ever prayed that? God, give me a hatred of sin. God, give me such a hatred for sin that even the very temptation of it, I find repulsive. That's what Jesus taught us to pray. Don't even mess with temptation. Don't even mess with it. I want to finish with these two thoughts about praying. And I hope, as I say, I hope this will inspire all of us to pray, to be a people who can pray. Firstly, here's the thought that Jesus gives, and he gives this in Luke 18, verse 1, where he tells the story of a widow who came and cried out to her next-door neighbour who was a judge, give me justice. Give me justice. In the middle of the night, give me. She's just crying and banging on his door. Give me justice. And eventually, Jesus said, the judge just wanted to sleep. So he looks at it. He says, what's your problem? And she tells him the case. And so he judges her situation and gives her justice. And Jesus said he did that even though he doesn't regard God. He did that for this woman because she was persistent. And Jesus said, and that's how you should pray with God. Now, there are some faith teachers like Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn, all of these guys who believe that God's there to help them in as much as he's there to help their program. I actually think it's the other way around. I think we're here to help God's program, but that's another issue. And one of these older guys, Smith Wigglesworth, he kind of started this off where you could see kind of what they were saying or what they are saying, but it's not right. They say this, you only have to pray to God once and that's it. Don't keep nagging God. Don't hassle God. But that's not what Jesus said. Persistent praying. So if you've been praying for something for a long time and it hasn't been answered, chances are your perspective of long time isn't the same as God's perspective of long time. Persistent praying. There are prayers that I've been praying for 20 years have been answered. There are prayers I'm praying for this church have not been answered. I hope there are prayers that you're praying, that you've been praying and will continue to pray until they are answered, and that you may well be praying them for a long time. Persistent praying. Persistent praying. We need to be a people who are persistent in our praying. Now, you might think, well, hang on, Pastor, you're telling me to pray and I might not get the answer I want. I might not see the answer I want for a long time. That doesn't sound very exciting to me. Why should I pray? Well, I'm glad you asked. Thank you. Here's three reasons why you should pray. Why we pray? Why we pray at all? Firstly, the first reason we pray is to know God. God, who are you? I don't yet know the answer to that question, do you? God, I really want to know you. I have begun to know the answer to that, but I don't yet know it. When I read some of this stuff in Scripture where God turns up and the ground shakes, and when I read Exodus 19 and the sky turns black and lightning. Man, we were driving with my GPS on the way to Arnhem Land the other week and on our way back to Tasmania. And as we were driving, we're in Queensland and it is thundering and storms, and just we're driving at times through a foot of water across the road. And next thing, out of the corner of my eye, I saw this flash of light. And I thought, oh, I wonder what that was. Because I picked these things up pretty quickly. And then right in front of me, Tyrone and I are looking at the road, right in front of me, from one side of the horizon to the other side of the horizon, I've never seen in my life, pow, lightning. Exodus 19 says, that's kind of like when God footsteps. When God turns up on the earth and just tiptoes, there's like thousands of these things happening. That should cause you to ask the question, who is this? It's kind of like that moment Peter had in the boat when Jesus woke up, turned to the seas, peace be still. And Peter looks up, and I think at that point Peter saw something that no one else in that little boat saw. And Jesus goes, Peter goes to Jesus because he saw something. And I reckon it's not there in the Bible, but I reckon if Luke could have come up with a word for he would have. And it would have been, depart from me. What did he just see? He saw the Jesus that John saw in Revelation chapter 1. And John describes as when he spoke, the ground shook. His voice was like the sound of thunderous waters. Do you know him? Who is he? Wow. Number one, the number one thing about our praying is to get to know God, our Father in heaven. Our Father, God, I want to know. Number two, the next thing we need to know about God, the next thing we need to do with prayer is to seek God. See, God, I want to know you. I want to know. I'm convinced that if I know God, I will reflect God. If I can just know who he is. See, there are thousands, if not millions of Muslims who think God is a harsh, cruel man of war who would soon as kill you as look at you. So what do they become like? They become like their God. And there are some Christians who are talking about we need to, you know, rise up in military defence against Muslims. And I'm thinking, oh, God, if they knew Jesus, they wouldn't be talking like that. To seek God is our second point, our second purpose of prayer, to seek God. Oh, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil. I need you in this journey called life. I need you, oh God. I seek you, oh God. I need you. I really need you here. God, I can't go out this door without you in my life. Seek God. And thirdly, to appeal to God. We can appeal to God. We can cry out, oh God, man, my family, we need this. Oh God, I need a better job, or I need whatever it is. You've got problems Bring the problems to God. Appeal to God to help. We can do that in prayer. We should do that in prayer. This is what Jesus taught. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would lead us. Father, forgive me for not representing this topic as good as it deserves. But Lord, I pray something in each one of us tonight would go, I'm going to seek God. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to become that person who prays like Nehemiah, prays in between conversations. I'm going to become that, like that person Jonah who cast in the trouble, instantly prays. I'm going to be like that person described in 1 Thessalonians 5 who is constantly praying. I'm going to be like that one in Philippians where it says, pray without ceasing. I'm going to be like the person who is bringing everything to you in prayer and thankfulness. Lord, I pray for us as a church that we will allow your kingdom to grow in our lives, that you will change us, you will mold us, you'll have your way in us, and so that as some of these older renditions of this Lord's Prayer finish up, so that yours may be the power, the glory, and the kingdom forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
There is one thing that we can be certain of. God answers prayer. Whether it's the arrow kind or more of the pleading kind, he'll answer in his time and in his way. We'll have more on prayer next week. Podcasts and Finding Truth Matters resources, including tonight's program, The Prayer Jesus Commanded Part 1, are available from Lagana Media. You can contact us at PO Box 1143, Lagana, Tasmania 7277, or via the website findingtruthmatters.org. If you'd like to subscribe to the monthly e-newsletter Perspectives, visit findingtruthmatters.org and click subscribe. Dr. Corbett is pastor of Lagana Christian Church and president of ICI Theological College Australia. We look forward to having you join us at the same time next week for another Finding Truth Matters.